Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, December 4th, 2025. Really chilly out there, so make sure you dress warm if you go out. We'll start with a story titled Danville's Icon Son, the hometown icon Danville legend Dick Van Dyke will turn 100 on December 13th, and this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Dick Van Dyke is a Danville legend. The high school auditorium is named after him, and there's an honorary road named after him. This weekend, an entire festival is dedicated to his life. He's Danville's favorite son, said Marty Lindvall, a former Danville High School music director who first met the legend in 2004 when she was directing Bye Bye Birdie. When I was a director there, we had plans to do Bye Bye Birdie for our spring musical, she said. And after talking with the principal, Mark Denman, one day I said, you know, it would be really cool since that was Dick Van Dyke's first Broadway musical that he performed in it. It'd be fun to have him write something for the program. And the more we were talking, I kind of was like, oh, or we could invite him back. So they just did that and invited Danville's most famous son via a letter. Within a couple of weeks, we got a letter saying, I don't buy green bananas, but I plan to be there, and I travel alone, and I will be there, Lindvall said. She added that his high school friends, nicknamed the Bufords, were also invited back, and they joined the crew. She added Dick Van Dyke, Bob Hackman, Gene Hackman's uncle, Harold Brown, Mary Tyler Moore, and Jerry Seward, of all of whom visited during that time in 2004. If you've ever watched the Dick Van Dyke show, he talks about the Burfords, she noted, and that's what they called each other in high school. They were kind of a gang of guys that hung out. Lindvall said he was a ball to have around during that time, and even said that they were like teenagers with a laugh. And that's when he put his hands and feet into the cement at the Fisher Theater, and he toured around Danville. He performed with the kids. I had an arrangement medley of all his songs, and he came on stage and performed Put on a Happy Face with the kids. She noted, stating he was just as nice and goofy in person as you see him on the screen. And when we did the musical Bye Bye Birdie, he was in the front row and he was singing along the entire time, she added. He knew all the words. And the auditorium at the time in 2004 was not named after Dick Van Dyke, but Lindvall made it her mission to have it named after him before she retired. So I went to the school board again, she continued, and I just played a clip of him saying the sights and sounds and smells of this auditorium flood me with memories and take me back to when I was a teenager on the stage. And I just hit stop, and I stood there, and they were like, yep, we got to name that auditorium after him. After the board approved the naming, the director was able to Skype with the famous son with the students at the time in 2011. We performed a couple songs and we named the auditorium after him, she said. And we did this thing called Moments Musical, which he used to perform when he was in high school. The former director recalled Dick Van Dyke revisiting in 2016 as well, which she had some part in. There was a film crew with him filming footage, and they did a welcome home documentary, she said. It's not very long. It may be about a half an hour. So there's footage of him in his home and around Danville talking about his childhood memories. Scenes from that visit are in the documentary premiering this weekend at the Fisher Theater. Director Steve Botcher talked a bit about the film. The film starts with a line from Mr. Van Dyke's book talking about Danville. And he said, Danville is a city that has a rich side of town and a poor side of town, but not a bad side of town. And I think that really kind of speaks to his positive attitude and always looking on the bright side of life. And his career reflects that kind of family-friendly material all the time that everybody can see and enjoy, he said. And I think That's part of the reason we love celebrating him. Production has been working for years on this film, which the director adds really humbled him with all the people he interviewed. Actually, it's been decades since we've interviewed so many of his past co-stars and, you know, friends, and he grew up in the business with, he added. So we have the entire cast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Dick Van Dyke Show. We have Carl Reiner, Rose Marie, and Maury Amsterdam. So we bring the cast back together in this film one last time. The team is back together, and I think that's what we're really excited about. He added that the work in this film is unlike that of others, and we really are so pleased that, you know, we have these exclusive interviews that we can bring to the audience, he said. Bocher said Van Dyke did not originally set out for Hollywood stardom. Instead, he wanted to shoot hoops. He wanted to be an athlete, but somehow the stage got him in high school, and he always said, I was taller than the girls, and I had a voice that carried to the back of the room, so I was a natural for all of the plays in school. And that's why the theater is named after him at the Danville High School, Bocher said. And the director said that the actor-singer is really as limber as you see in the character as Mary Poppins, adding he's just so flexible and so nimble and still that way today, though what a physical entertainer he was. For Bocher, the community of friendships made in theater is partially that what drew him to the documentary, and what he says represents how they are debuting the film. There is something about being around the camaraderie of all of it, he said. You become kind of a family in a very good way, and I think that's the same thing for Mr. Van Dyke. Like these other shows, like the big Van Dyke Show and with Mary Poppins, you know, your family becomes the cast, becomes kind of an extension of your family. And that's part of the reason we interviewed all the people that are in the film. So they all know him like, you know, like he's a brother to them or a family member to them. Lindvall added that Van Dyke deserves to be honored and celebrated. He is absolutely an amazing human. He really is, she said. His body may be getting older, but his brain is as sharp as a tack. She said she stays in touch with him and his wife, Arlene Silver. She's super protective of him, and so I credit her for getting him to 100, she added. She's the force behind him for sure, and she's a remarkable person, too. She likes to sing and dance, and so they have that. They love to sing and dance. Well, honestly, I treasure all my conversations, Lindvall said. I just treasure the time I got to spend with him. And there's a couple of pictures. One is Dick Van Dyke, shown here at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in 2007. Will be honored this weekend at the Fisher Theater with the premiere of the Dick Van Dyke documentary on Saturday, along with showing of three of his films on Sunday. And then there's Dick Van Dyke answers a question regarding his childhood in Danville during a press conference in Dick Van Dyke Auditorium back in 2016. Quite a guy. Since we're on Dick Van Dyke, there's another story about him. Fisher Fest celebrates Van Dyke's legacy, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Celebrate 100 years of Dick Van Dyke at the Fisher Theater this weekend, and we're thrilled to host a party to wish him the happiest of 100 birthdays, Ashton Greer, the Fisher Theater director, said. There will be 2 days full of things. Dick Van Dyke at the Fisher Theater on Saturday and Sunday, from classic films starring him, memorabilia, the premiere of the Dick Van Dyke documentary, and a birthday card for everyone to sign. The birthday party will be composed of a giant canvas open both days for guests to sign. The giant canvas will be rolled up and mailed to the Danville celebrity. The event will kick off Saturday with a local artist, Katie Weston, creating a live portrait of Dick Van Dyke. There will be hors d'oeuvres available from the local from 5 to 6:30 on Saturday. There will also be concession eats available both days of the event. There will be commemorative t-shirts, themed cocktails, trivia, as well as live entertainment from members of the Danville Symphony Orchestra. Following the food, the Dick Van Dyke documentaries national premiere will take place. Being selected as to host the national premiere may be the most exciting event since theaters reopening, Greer said. We are deeply grateful to Mr. Van Dyke, filmmaker Steve Bocher, and Michael Trinklin for choosing to launch this film in Danville. As a community, we love Dick Van Dyke and all he's meant to people around the world. She added that what she is looking forward to most is the documentary. What I'm most excited about is that at least 10 minutes of the documentary features Dick's time in Danville, Greer said. It's really cool that he's premiering it here. I mean, there's footage of him in his childhood home, and there's footage of him at Danville High School performing with the show choir, and just like a lot of film actually features him here in our town. A limited number of tickets for Saturday night are still available. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure that the tickets for Saturday night are about sold out, so it's going to be tough to get in at this point, Greer said. There are lots of tickets still for Sunday event with the movies. Chuck Kaplinski, the film critic, is going to be there, and he'll be offering insights to each film, questions and answers with the audience. It's a really engaging time. Tickets on Sunday's event are only $20 and can be purchased online by calling the Fisher Theater or going there in person on the day of the event. The Van Dyke movies being shown on Saturday will be Bye Bye Birdie, the comic, and Mary Poppins. There will be PowerPoint presentations before and after each film, said Kaplinski, who says his favorite is the comic. I like to give background as to, you know, what went into the making of them, sharing anecdotes that I've read about or heard, and just giving more background about the movie. I think that makes a richer film-going experience. Kaplinski stars on Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, a movie review based in Chicago and Central Illinois, reviewing movies every week for CBS. He added that if you were a fan of one of Danville's favorite sons, you won't miss this experience. I would say that, you know, people should not miss this. There's nothing like seeing a movie in an old theater with a crowd, Kaplinski said. The younger generation don't understand that going to a film should be a communal experience. So I'm hoping that people will come for that experience, and I hope older fans of Van Dyke will bring their kids or grandkids and share this with them. The documentary director Steve Blank said the film will not be available on any streaming platform. Go to the theater, that's the place for this celebration, he said. And there may be other specials, but this is really the only one that's endorsed by the Van Dyke family and used by them as one of the celebrations. The film will be available in over 1,000 theaters across the country on December 13th and 14th. To find out which theater near you is showing, head on over to fathomeentertainment.com. We're actually donating the use of the film in Danville to help the Fisher Theater and the legacy of the Fisher Theater and the future of the Fisher Theater, he added. So our thought was we wanted to help in Danville, and that's why we donated him free of charge to Danville to use for this celebration. It's pretty cool. Next story is titled City Council Discusses Library Funding, and again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Funding for the Danville Public Library was once again a hot topic debate during the Danville City Council meeting on Tuesday. Alderman Doug Ahrens reiterated his desire to see the Danville Public Library have fewer funding cuts. I just think with the factors that we have in the community, the need for education in our youth, and with a new director coming in, I just think the timing is poor, he said. It'd be best to keep them closer to a status quo, which I intend. Ahearn suggested cutting the funding to the library by 1%, which is consistent with what the city has indicated it cut during the same period, or actually this year, he said. On Monday, there was a public budget discussion and discussing the cuts and reductions needed. Based on some of the discussions that did take place on yesterday, I do believe that an analysis by an actuary for our large group employees over a period of time is appropriate so that we can have accurate information, Aaron said. The alderman added that there are other things the city needs to focus on and spend money on. And wouldn't it be nice to have $2 million in a fund where we can focus on businesses, Aaron said. He went on to add, focus on community improvements like getting hooked up to the rail trail, getting other things done throughout the community, and that community that currently we do not have funding set aside. And I guess I would then follow up with the administration going to put together some guidance to the demolition similar to what I said, like laid out, so that we can see that backlogs looks like and how that's going to move forward. That's something we can consider, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said. Alderman Ed Butler and Alderman Tricia Teague sided with Aarons. I feel the same way in dealing with the tax levy and dealing with the library as well, Butler said. I talked with the director intensely, and I didn't know at the time that, until yesterday, they used to have a team where the teenagers would come and study and, you know, learn. Butler added that there are other needs for the library as well. The bathrooms and the restrooms that need some renovation, some stalls are not working, or the urinals are not working, or what have you, Butler said. And he has some good ideas. I believe the mayor needs to sit down and talk to more in depth about the needs of the library, because this young man has a plan for Danville. I would like him to stay. He's a young black man. Alderman Teague addressed the concerns of funding too. They actually had been good stewards of their money. I've seen this before, Teague said to the council. I would like for the new director to have the flexibility to be able to do what he needs to do within the budget that he has to repurpose the positions that he does have, as opposed to coming in and then cutting down there to bare bones. There was a discussion about how the library had a teen program in the past that the new director is looking to bring back. In doing so, Teague and Butler both said things like that are needed in Danville for the youth. Council also approved the rate increases for Vermilion County Animal Shelter, went over the audit, and discussed events happening this weekend. Okay, there doesn't seem to be any obituaries today, so we'll continue on with stories. This one's titled Museum Hosts Presentation on Coal in Vermilion County, written by a staff reporter in Danville. It can be said that learning is more than memorizing facts and figures, because it involves understanding, making corrections, and applying knowledge. Graduate students from the University of Illinois Department of Urban and Regional Planning will demonstrate that 1 p.m. Saturday at the Vermilion County Museum, located at 116 North Gilbert Street in Danville, when they share the semester-long project, Exploring Goals, Legacy in Vermilion County, a public presentation and discussion. During the event, students will present their work mapping a coal heritage trail through Vermilion County. Over the semester, the class identified and documented key sites that tell the story of coal's deep influence on the region's social, environmental, and economic landscape. The project highlights locations that range from local museums preserving miners' stories to fossil-rich formations in an underground petrified rainforest, as well as areas affected by coal ash contamination along the Middle Fork River. Following the presentation, attendees will have the opportunity to ask questions and share feedback on the students' findings and proposals. The class developed ideas for making selected sites more publicly accessible and engaging as historical and educational destinations, with the goal of connecting residents and visitors to the county's coal heritage. This project brings together place, history, community engagement, and natural heritage, said Emily Guskey, research specialist at the Climate Jobs Institute, who taught the class UP 510 plan making throughout the semester. By exploring how coal shaped Vermilion County and how its legacy continues to affect people and the environment today, the students are helping to imagine new possibilities for heritage, learning, and community revitalization. The event is free and open to the public, and light refreshments will be provided. And there's a picture of the Vermilion County Museum is hosting a presentation by graduate students from the University of Illinois on Saturday on coal's legacy in Vermilion County. Next one's titled, Covington hosts a second Small Business Saturday in Covington, Indiana. Weather conditions last weekend basically whited out Small Business Saturday in the Illiana region. So the downtown shops in Covington, Indiana are launching Small Business Saturday, the remix, for this Saturday, December 6th. According to the press release, no snow will stop us this time because we're turning up the fun. It begins at 9 a.m. Eastern Time at Julie's Java, where an elf on the shelf will be performing Christmas music. The shops in downtown Covington will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Next, Danville man arrested, charged from 2018 double homicide in Danville. A Danville man has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder in the July 2018 double homicide that claimed the lives of Latre Reed and Tania Williams. According to a news release from Deputy Chief Doug Miller, Danville police obtained and executed an arrest warrant for Dakota Patton, 29, of Danville, for first-degree murder stemming from the July 5, 2018 shootings. Patton was taken into custody without incident. Reed, who was 21 at the time of his death, and Williams, who was 20 at the time of her death, were found deceased inside a residence in the 1300 block of Lake Street after officers responded to a 4:15 a.m. call reporting an unresponsive male. According to the original release from 2018, Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said, entering the home, police found a male and female lying on the floor in the residence, and both appeared to be victims of a gunshot wounds. There were two other persons in the home, but were not injured. The case was immediately investigated as a homicide. The investigation into this incident is ongoing. Anyone with information is urged to contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS or 8477. Run through some local briefs. Schlarman holds St. Nicholas Bazaar. Schlarman Academy will be holding the 4th annual St. Nicholas Bazaar on Saturday, December 6th at Schlarman Academy South Campus, located at 1307 North Walnut Street in Danville. The bazaar hours are from 9 to 4 p.m. and will feature over 25 vendors selling everything from gourmet cookies to crafts and furniture. Concessions will be available for purchase, gingerbread cookies and other treats, hot chocolate, coffee, soda, and water. All proceeds will benefit the Schlarman Academy 6th grade class. Masons host play dinner. The 32nd degree Masons of the Danville Scottish Rite is hosting a public dinner and play on Saturday, December 6th at the Danville Masonic, located at 109 West North Street in Danville. Dinner will begin at 5:30 p.m. and will feature spaghetti, meatballs, salad, garlic bread, dessert, and iced tea or lemonade. The play December's Rose will follow at 6:30 p.m. December's Rose is a heartwarming play for the Christmas season as it explores themes of selflessness and selfishness. pride and humility, and anger and forgiveness, along with desperation and hope. Tickets are $15 per person. For more information and to buy tickets, go to the website bit.ly/42PSFTA, call the Valley of Danville office, or call the Valley of Danville office at 217-446-7620. Sweet Adeline's holds Christmas program. The Danville Sweet Adeline's will present their annual Christmas luncheon and silent auction, Home for Christmas, at noon on Saturday, December 6th at the Bremer Theater on campus of Danville Area Community College. Full of beautiful music, delicious food, and an opportunity to buy presents, this event will get you into the Christmas spirit. Admission is $25. For reservations, call 217-474-0473. Proceeds from the silent auction benefit Mission K9 Warriors. Georgetown hosts Christmas Parade. The Georgetown Ladies Community Club announces the 2025 Georgetown Holiday Parade and holiday happenings will take place on Sunday, December 7th. The holiday happenings, which will feature festive activities for families, will be from 2 to 5 p.m. with the parade set for 5:30. Parade entries are free, while sponsorships are available for $50. For more information, follow the Georgetown Ladies Community Club or Facebook at facebook.com, Georgetown Ladies Community Club, or you can call Emily Hart at 217-655-8917 or Tammy Hodge at 217-822-2622. And Schweizer holds Toys for Tots. State Representative Brandon Schweizer, Republican in Danville, is hosting his first ever Toys for Tots drive this holiday season. New and unwrapped toys for children can be dropped off at the Schweizer office located at 3821 North Vermilion Street, Suite 5 in Danville, until December 9th. All toys collected will go to the Danville Toys for Tots chapter. The Toys for Tots organization does a tremendous job of spreading Christmas cheer in and out, and I am happy to support their mission, Schweizer said. The holiday season, I encourage everyone who is able to give the great organization to support local children. Just a quick community brief. Christmas event in Potomac. Christmas in the Barn returns to Potomac. This event invites families to immerse themselves in a Christmas experience filled with joy, laughter, and holiday cheer. Guided tours will be available on December 4th from 5 to 8 p.m., December 5th from 5 to 9 p.m., and December 6th from 4 to 9 p.m. There will be a special sensory-sensitive Christmas event on December 6th from 11 to 2 p.m. This year, there will be a festive trolley ride to take guests from the barn to the downtown Potomac on Friday and Saturday evenings, where families can visit Santa at the clinic. This annual celebration raises funds to support two Illinois nonprofit organizations, Gateway Family Services of Illinois and Hooves of Hope. This year, Christmas in the Barns has had set a goal of raising $76,300. Sponsorships are available at levels ranging from $100 to $1,000, and they can be secured at www.christmasinthebarn.org. And items for a silent auction can be donated, while those interested in making a charitable contribution can email info@gatewayfamilieservices.org. Christmas in the Barn is located at 7757 U.S. Route 136 in Potomac. And real quick, class of 57 meets for lunch. Danville High School class of 1957 will be meeting lunch at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, December 15th at Jocko's, located at 305 West William Street in Danville. And Art League hosts party. The Danville Art League will have a special holiday party from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 6th at the Art League, located at 320 North Franklin Street in Danville. The public is invited to stop in and view our current exhibit featuring fall, winter, and holiday artwork. Refreshments will be available, and visitors can enter to win some raffle prizes, including a basket with a gift certificate for a color splash party. Our artists will also have great gifts for sale during the party. So that'll be it for Thursday, December 4th, 2025. Like I said, you need to make sure you dress warm today. It's very, very cold today. So have a good week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.